Okay, so I'm presenting on behalf of myself and Catherine Clift, who couldn't actually be here today. I have nothing to disclose. Okay, so Marnaz and I come from Kaiser Permanente. It's we're really big. We're really old. We have about 250,000 employees across the nation. We're in 8 states and Washington D.C. We have now, I believe, it's up to 9.5 million members, and our mission is to provide high-quality, affordable health care services and to improve the health of our community members and the communities we serve. And we take that last part really very seriously, and that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today. And I would say more recently we've been charged with what Marnaz already suggested in her introduction, is that how do you improve the health of the community? So not just the health of your members, but the communities in your footprint as well, and then how do you inform the field of how to do this even better across the nation? So big emphasis on population health. And with that, I'm going to introduce this. This is building off of a long history of prevention and population health, which we've been doing since our inception 70 years ago. But this is this notion that health happens more than just in the doctor's office. And this should be no surprise to an audience here, here at this conference and here in this room as well. But it's similar diagrams are very common in the field. This is the direction that the field is going. It's this idea that we need to step out of the doctor's office into the places where people live, work, play, pray, learn, and really think about strategies, and in our case, the health system's role in strategies that can improve population health outside of our medical offices. And it also considers the drivers of health. Those are these other buckets besides medical care. And so this is how we enter the CHNA process with this in mind, is really thinking about the drivers behind health. And you'll see when I present our process that we really attempted to understand not just health outcomes, but the drivers of those health, of health. And this is just another diagram of our total health strategy, which is basically also, in order to improve health and in order to get inside where people live, work, play, pray, we need to be able to leverage our assets, give it everything we have. And so these are just examples of the assets we have throughout our organization that we're trying to throw at communities in some kind of a coordinated, aligned way. So our community benefit strategy has become more than just a community benefit strategy, but how do we organize ourselves with our operations, with the clinical side, really to make sure that that we're doing everything we can to improve the health of our community. And CHNA, the CHNA process, does everyone know what CHNA stands for? Yes. Okay, nodding. Community Health Needs Assessment, if you don't. The CHNA process is very emblematic of the past two slides that I've shown. So leveraging our assets and the drivers of health. How many folks in the room have gotten your hands dirty with the ACA version of CHNAs? Okay. Okay, so I'll give a little background for those who haven't. It's an accelerated or a more rigorous version of a needs assessment, I would say. So it's about understanding the barriers to health and assets in a community. And then I think the key here is then linking your plan. So in our case, the hospital's case, it's linking the CB spend to the needs that you've identified. So it's making sure that you've identified needs and then planned on how you're going to address those needs. And it requires nonprofit hospitals to do this every 3 years and submit it to the IRS. So these are essentially the requirements. And for us, at Kaiser Permanente, it was never just a compliance thing. We've been doing community health needs assessments across our regions for many years now, for over 20 years in California with some state law there, but never like this. So the ACA ignited a new process for us, but it was the direction we wanted to go. It was more than a compliance thing in the sense of we weren't doing it just to check the boxes. And in fact, we have regions that don't have nonprofit hospitals, so they did not have to go along with the regs. And even those regions decided that they wanted to the law, conduct a community health needs assessment by choice, because it's the right thing to do. It was a way to make us more transparent, accountable, and really to think about how our CHNA process can drive strategy, not just inside community benefit, but across our organization. And I have actually a really great example in Southern California that Mirnaz is going to touch on a little bit, where it wasn't just our community benefit strategy that our CHNA process informs, but it's actually the hospital's strategic plan. So really taking the process quite seriously in the name of total health, and in a way that leverages our assets and engages our community partners. So the first thing we did, this is probably, maybe 4 years ago now, we decided collectively, we have 42 facilities across the nation, so lots of hospitals, facilities and regions, 42 of them, and we decided that we were all going to come up with a common set of indicators, and we were going to do this for a couple of reasons. One, so that we weren't spending our time coming up with indicators and sources across 42 different places, but also so that we'd be able to roll it up, to say something collectively across the organization about what Kaiser Permanente is doing to address health. So we came up with a list of about 84 indicators, and we organized them around, we looked across the nation at population health models, and there are a lot of them. We came to the conclusion that they basically look very much the same, but we chose, maybe you're familiar with this, this is MATCH, this is the County Health Rankings, so this is a slightly adapted version of it. We chose that as the way to organize our needs, and the reason we did that was it was a way to make sure that we had health outcomes, and that within the health outcomes, we could also look at the drivers of health. So if you're looking, for example, if you're looking at obesity, you can also see how transportation, food security, those types of drivers linked to obesity. So we wanted a way to see how it all connects, and make sure that we were considering the social determinants of health as well as the health outcomes. And along the way, we made ourselves a little more complicated for a good reason, is that we wanted to look at gender, ethnicity, and so our indicators that were supposed to be manageable became a little bit more unmanageable as we got them to be more useful to the end user. We also broke it down by county. We only originally were going to break it down by our hospital service area because that's how the needs assessment needed to be reported. But it became clear along the way that county was really important for a lot of our planning and also for our partnerships with the health departments. And then we needed a place to house the indicators. So we created a platform built off of the Community Commons, if you're familiar with that. And it's the website is called chna.org/KP. And it was a place to house our indicators and be able to display them in the form of tables and maps with hotspotting in the maps so that you could start to understand what was going on. And the idea for doing both the indicators and the platform was to get our folks to be able to have easy access to indicators and the analysis of them, so we weren't spending our time doing that, but we were spending our time with the interpretation of data and the planning around it. So this was the intent, and the platform was intended for that. We had benchmarks in it, county, state, national, and Healthy People 2020 were benchmarks in the platform. And we also decided early on to provide it free to the nation so that anyone could use, any of you can log on and use the public health indicators that are in the platform. There's our 83 indicators in there, and then behind it is all of the indicators that are available in the Community Commons. So you can bring in indicators from other that are not part of our CHNA process, and really allows a look at a lot of different things that are publicly available data in one place. One more thing about this is that it actually became much more useful to our partners than we thought, both internal and external partners. So for external partners, our grantees started using the platform for their proposal writing or for other ways of understanding community need. Our funding partners started using the platform to learn about what their footprint looked like. And then internally, our hospital internal folks, strategic planning, market planning, research, government relations, care delivery, those folks were now using population health data, community health data, in ways that they never had before through the use of this platform. So we had created it for CHNA, but it became much more useful to our partners and to the field than we had originally anticipated. And I had intended to show a video to you, but I'm I've learned throughout the conference that that actually doesn't go so well, so I'm not going to do it. But what I'll tell you is if you go on the platform, chna.org/KP, then there are tutorials. You can easily find a couple different tutorials that show you how to use it. So I unfortunately won't be able to take you through. This was going to be a short tutorial, but I'm not going to try it. Okay, so here are what the needs look like across the 42 facilities. And many of these, especially the ones in black, were no surprise to us. We knew obesity was an issue, we knew we had access problems, and so on, all the way down the list. What's in red, those were surprising to us. Those are new areas for us. Mental health, oral health, violence prevention, and economic security were things we had not taken on before. And we really grappled for a long time and still are grappling with what is the role of a health system in addressing those needs in red. And so what can we do to make a dent here, and who do we need to partner with, and who are the right grantees? Who are the people that need to come to the table to build out our plans around mental health or violence? And also, how do these link to the needs that we're already working on? And I'm going to touch on those in some later slides. But, for example, obesity was in every single one of our facilities. And we've been doing an obesity prevention for about a decade now, a large initiative for about a decade now. But what our CHNA process told us is that often obesity is linked to other things that we need to also consider, like violence, like economic development, and so how do you, or mental health, how do you take on obesity with a slightly new lens in a way that you can still see impact, meaning that we can still measure the impact of our investment. So we're making an impact and we can measure it, because measuring is also part of the requirements as well. So here's just a look at some of the data that was coming in. This is economic security, and on the right, part of ACA was also that you needed to interview do some key informant interviews with knowledgeable public health folk. And so on the right, you see some of the qualitative interview data that came in. And on the left, this is coming directly from our platform. This is just three indicators that were used by some of our folks for economic security. So what you see here is poverty, high school graduation, and unemployment. And you can see that the benchmark is showing, it's showing that we're worse off than the benchmark. And we're looking at the benchmark of California and United States and sometimes Healthy People 2020 for a more aspirational benchmark. And I'm going to take a little bit of a deeper dive in obesity. Like I mentioned, it's the one that we've been doing for a decade, so we've got a lot of experience in this content area, but it's still coming up as a need. And what you see here is the same data that I showed on a previous slide, but what you can see in the quotes is that safety is coming up. When you look under the rug, it's not just obesity, but behind it is obesity. And on the right, you can see that transportation is coming up. And so really looking at the social determinants of health as it relates to an outcome that we've been very invested in for a long time. And then you also see the benchmarking again, that we're looking at the recreation facilities. This is in the state of Maryland, and on the top right is in Northern California, a city called Modesto that you can see has limited park access. So this is just a way to get our hands dirty with, okay, what's behind obesity? What is it really looking like? How do we link the social determinants of health to understand how to plan to understand what's our best investment in the health need of obesity? And then this is a screenshot from our platform where we're taking a closer look at obesity. So on the left, you actually have this is using FitnessGram in California. So this is looking at kids' BMI using FitnessGram public health data. And on the right is actually looking at it lined up with adult high school diplomas. So we're seeing kids, obesity, BMI, and you can see that the overlay with adult education is pretty striking. And we're doing this as a way to figure out, okay, what is our intervention here? What is the way to just trying to get our hands dirty with the data? And then Murnaz is going to show this slide as well, and she'll go a little deeper. But what I'll say here is that we also wanted to make sure that we were using the evidence base. And so really, this was kind of a quick and dirty, quite frankly. We took the top 10 health needs that I showed you and did a scan of the evidence. So this is obesity, and in this case, we looked at things like the CDC, the community guide, the Institute of Medicine recommendations, and the Wisconsin health rankings. Those were the three areas that, for the most part, we drew our evidence from. But we also took a lens that was slightly different. So looking at the evidence, we took the lens of what can a health system do? What can a health system do in a community setting? And then within that, what are the more impactful strategies? So we kind of deleted some strategies from the list that were less impactful, like for example, community gardens, which a lot of our folks gravitate towards. We wanted to make sure that if we were recommending the evidence base, that we were also recommending things that could be more impactful. And it wasn't at all to say that you can't do things that either aren't evidence-based, because we wanted to innovate as well, or that you can't do things that are maybe a little bit less impactful. But it was really just if we're guiding people, we wanted to make sure that we're getting the most out of our investments. And then we also wanted to make sure that this was actually new for us. In the past, our community health needs assessment, our 20 years of experience with needs assessment efforts, for the most part was around grant making. And so we forced ourselves this time around to look at more than just grant making. So we forced ourselves to consider, okay, who do we need to play with in the sandbox? And what assets do we need to leverage, internal assets that can really make an impact on health? So really taking advantage of our partners and what we have to offer internally to our communities. And so on the left-hand side, this is just to give you a flavor. You can see that we're partnering with folks who can improve food security, who have more expertise than we do in safe transportation or parks, really trying to make sure that we have the right, that we're not just investing in communities, but we're partnering with other people who can help us improve obesity in this case. And on the right-hand side, we're leveraging our resources in ways like engaging our physician champions in advocating for food policies in school, or PE, going to the school board to talk about the importance of getting PE in schools, using the white code and bringing in the evidence base, and really taking advantage of the fact that we can leverage our doctors. We can also leverage our relationship with safety net clinics and our own. We also have some programs where we bring folks in and provide care to people who don't have access to care otherwise. So these are just a few examples, and there's much more that we can do here. This is probably the greatest improvement that we can make in the CHNA process moving forward, is how do we better leverage our assets and how do we better partner with others? Because if we don't partner with others, we're not going to move the needle on the health outcomes. They're huge and they're not manageable for one institution, but if you can engage others and we can all work collectively, we all likely have the same or similar needs, then we can maybe make a dent. And so this is an example also of some of the, this is more on the grant making side, so this is some of the programs that we put in place also, and many of these were actually in place prior, but what you can see, this is an example of Colorado, and what I'm trying to show here is that we have a comprehensive approach to addressing, in this case, obesity. So this is a look at it from the social non-medical needs perspective. So how are we looking upstream? Really, it's how are we looking at the social determinants of health, and we're doing this through putting forward interventions that target people, that target their families, and that change environments. So on the right-hand side, you'll see some of our big initiatives. The two listed there are Thriving Schools, and sometimes it's called HEAL. In Colorado, it's called Live Well. Sometimes it's called the Community Health Initiative. It's different in every region. But what it is a policy and environmental change obesity prevention strategy. And we have it in 50 sites across the nation. But really giving you a flavor of what this looks like. It's not just a few grants sprinkled around, but it's a comprehensive and in many cases, innovative approach to addressing obesity. And these are, just to be clear, a lot of these were in place prior to our needs assessment, but our needs assessment forced us to take a look at how we can do this slightly differently. Like, how do you take on mental health within the context of obesity prevention? How do you take on violence? It caused us to rethink our strategy in ways that we wouldn't have done without this process in place. And then on top of that, we realized that it's not just about investing in communities, but we needed to go up a notch and go to the policy level. So what can we do at a national level that supports the work on the ground? And so this is, again, just a flavor, and some of these you've heard about in other sessions by us and by our partners that really talk about how do you provide surround sound and make it so that you're offering opportunity for communities to be more successful. So these are just things at the policy level, sometimes state, sometimes national, that support the work on the ground. So really thinking about how do we take advantage of the fact that we're a national organization and we can do things in partnership with others that are pretty big and pretty helpful in facilitating the work on the ground that our communities are doing. So this is my last slide. And in summary, I just want to say that our CHNA process gave us a much better understanding of the needs of our communities. And it also gave us, it forced us to think about these three circles. So how can we better leverage our assets, and like I mentioned, we have a long way to go here, but how can we take advantage of all the things? We have brick and mortar in the communities. We're there for the long term. How can we make sure that we're directing resources in a smart way towards addressing the needs? And how can we make sure, I used the term earlier, that we're playing nice in the sandbox, but knowing that we can't take on the needs by ourselves, how do we more strategically align with others to address those needs in a more comprehensive and innovative and I guess for the most part impactful way. So really taking advantage of aligning our investment strategies internally and externally to have the most impact that we can.
Thank you.